Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome into the Eric Ainge Show on FM 99.1. The Sports Animal. Brian Rice, myself, Eric Ainge. Joel Silverberg, we are in the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Brian, how was the rest of your day yesterday? Did you do anything fun?
No, not really.
Not really. You were just being Brian.
We had
just
Tennessee sports night, so had, you know,
did a little TV.
Had to coordinate to get back here in time to do that.
So. Nice. Yeah. Had a fun day. I coached two soccer practices last night.
Oh boy,
it was a good deal.
You're running your kid through 2-a-days now?
No, we had Fallon and then Turner.
Oh,
okay. I had two. Yeah, soccer.
So they're both soccering.
Yes, they both are soccering. We did a bunch of I had to teach them how to catch the ball with their foot. I'm learning soccer a little bit. It's terrible.
There weren't any illegal cleats, were there?
No illegal cleats. Everybody had the proper shin guards on. A couple of the kids like had sweatpants on because it's, you know, getting a little colder, and so I made them do the little check, and I didn't think through if they didn't have their shin guards on.
Yeah,
but the way I did it was I just walked up and just like kicked them in the leg.
Oh, yeah, that's and so
I was like
idea.
you got them, and then I stopped halfway through and I was like, wait, everybody has their shin guards on, right? Because I could just see myself kicking one of the little kids in the shin and then being like, no, I don't have them on, and then being on the ground, and then I'm the guy that kicks kids.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, he didn't want that. But they all had them on. It worked out pretty good.
Just don't report anybody for illegal shin guards. Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
That'd be as bad as an illegal bat.
It would be. Jeremy Bruin addressed the media yesterday talking about the Alabama game. It said the third Saturday in October gets the blood flowing, doesn't it? Phil Fulmer didn't have to come and have a meeting with him about how important the third Saturday in October was.
No, the guy grew up. He did a good job of not saying while he grew up in Alabama watching the third Saturday in October that he was saying Roll Tide.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job of that because I do think he's a professional and I don't think he cares anymore. Would you agree with that?
I think we're past that.
You get desensitized to all of the nostalgic who I grew up with by the time you get to where he's at
in life.
You're
getting a paycheck, and you would like to continue to get the paycheck, and so you go as hard as you can for who's giving you the paycheck.
Exactly. Well, and I really do. Desensitized is the right word because even I, once you go through the recruiting process as a prospect, it just goes away.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it does get the blood flowing.
Gets the blood flowing. I like it. We'll give you some injury updates, and then this I saved it for today because yesterday was all about what happened in the game. But Tennessee celebrated quite a bit after the game on Saturday. I've seen many, many, many people who were just fine with it. I've seen several people that were like, "You're celebrating like that for beating Mississippi State." And so I want to have the conversation because I'm kind of in the middle on it.
Would you say you're torn?
Like a Natalie Imbruglia hit from the 90s. But unlike her, there are things about it that are fine.
I'm on this particular issue, Brian, I am not torn.
Okay.
So I'll give you mine on that when we hit that.
All right. How has the offensive line continued to improve this season? What have they done that have made them more successful than I think we thought they could be even at this point? It's still not where it needs to be, but I think we can all agree they're having more success than we anticipated them having. Would that be accurate for you?
When I think of the O-line, I think of the individual players, and that's always been the conversation. It's like, okay, well, look at this guy. Who's this guy? Okay, now look at this player. And when you go through all the guys we have, it's impossible at any point in the year when we're previewing or reviewing, you go, that guy should be a good player. He was a 3-, 4-star, 5-star prospect. He's played a lot of football. He whatever. It's been them collectively that have never gelled. So I think that's, I think what you're seeing is these guys that individually should be good players playing as a unit, and now they're starting to play better. They still have a long way to go.
Yeah. So we'll roll through that as well. Ryan Callen, GrowBalls 24/7 will join us. Kirby Smart in close games. I have some numbers.
Nice. Because we both kind of just, we kind of went there yesterday, but we didn't have the numbers. We just brought up, like I brought up a few games.
Yeah, I went through game by game and where they are on that. So we'll look at that. We'll play Florida, Alabama, Georgia. I don't think we noticed this in real time, but I noticed it in going back and watching the game on Sunday night. Tennessee changed where its coaches were on Saturday. Huge. Jeremy Pruitt then addressed it yesterday, run through his reasoning for it and why it matters. All that and more. By the way, LeBron James is an idiot. Don't say something that literally everyone disagrees with, because that's going to be bad for your hashtag brand. All that and more.
His shoes suck anyway.
Stay on the Eric Cain Show, and that's Game Plan. It's laid out for you by 40 seconds.
He'll never be MJ, and his shoes will never be MJ.
No.
He'll just always be LeBron. And that's 42nd Street, 42SD.com.
They're the more MJ.
Yeah, for sure. The MJ of branding companies and website design companies. Definitely the MJ. If you want the MJ for your brand, then you go with 42nd Street. Hit them up, 42SD.com.
Also, by the way, the XFL draft is today at 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah, and there's a couple VFLs.
71 rounds they're going to have. And teams only get...
Hold on. What?
There are going to be 71 rounds.
Is there two players around?
And teams only get 90 seconds between picks. Whoa, it's like, that could it's be, your fantasy draft.
That could be entertaining.
Yeah.
Are the three of us in it?
I don't know. I hope not. Okay. I want to go play in the...
Okay. Joel could kick.
Yeah, Joel could kick. You could throw.
You could.
I could catch.
Yeah.
And they did. I need to get with Michael and work on the speed side.
You could die.
Yeah.
We all could die. When you kick, sometimes you got to tackle.
Yeah. I mean, which one of the three of us has the chance of being killed first in an XFL game? I'd say it's pretty even.
I'm pretty good at getting beat up.
Yeah,
I have a lot of fragile.
Joel's skinny. I'm slow.
I loved my teammates in high school, but as a kicker, they could not cover a kickoff to save a season, and so I had to make a couple of tackles in my day.
Nice.
But we never gave up a touchdown. We never gave up a touchdown on kickoff. So there was
always saved it.
Push that guy out of bounds at the one. It all counts the same. We'll come back. It's the Eric Gain Show, FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Gain Show. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group, MIGOnline.com. And it's time to play score forward, Brian.
Yeah, let's see if we can give away a Ford F-150. Brent is on the line. Brent, how are you this morning?
Yeah, hanging in there. How about y'all?
Hey, we're doing not good. Too bad. All right. You know how it works, but I've got to tell you anyway. I'm going to ask you for your score prediction for Tennessee and Alabama on Saturday. On Friday, we will select one of our guessers at random, and if your prediction is selected and it is correct, you'll go home with a new Ford F-150 valued at around $45,000 from our friends at Ted Russell Ford. What do you have for Tennessee and Alabama Saturday?
Well, with my orange glasses, and I could never pick against the Vols, last-second field goal, Tennessee 38-37.
38-37, Tennessee.
Brent!
I like it, Brent. I can cheer for that score. I can cheer for it.
I could not live with myself if I picked against us and we won.
All right.
I mean, you'd have to ask for a crimson F-150.
No, you wouldn't. Brent, thank you, and good luck to you.
Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
Hell yeah, good luck to you.
Yeah.
38-37.
I want him to be picked because I want to cheer for that score on Saturday.
And I would go way more ham if Tennessee beat Alabama than the guys did against Mississippi State. I don't know what I'd do. That's just like, I think I'd be in disbelief.
If Tennessee won 38-37, last second field goal. First of all, Andy had run out to give Brent the keys to the truck. That's I mean, thanks, Derek, for the
support. I
don't
even know how to like say on the radio 5 days before the game what I would do.
We would do it so big to give him that truck.
I'm like having a moment where I'm like trying to process like the even possibility that that happens. I don't know.
And it would be like midnight, and I bet every bar and restaurant in town would have to open back up so we could go celebrate.
But people would, though.
Yeah. People would celebrate.
I'd burn something. I'm not a proponent of the burning of things. I would burn something.
Do you have an old mattress hanging around that, you know, when Better Mattress replaced one of yours?
Listen, or did they haul them all away? Would call Kingston Pike Mike.
Yeah.
And I'd say, I need a mattress to burn, so I'm going to burn one. Can we work a deal on me getting a replacement?
Or do you go in and say, you picked up from somebody when you replaced?
I know what I would do.
What would you do?
I would take the couch
that's
upstairs in our playroom.
Okay.
We have a giant 75-inch TV and this couch that's called the Peyton.
The Peyton.
It's literally called the Peyton. It's just the name of the couch. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just the name of the couch. You know, like the brand is whatever, and then it's called the Peyton. I would make my neighbor carry that thing down in the street, and we would honorary, like a sacrificial, because Peyton, I don't think he ever lost to Bama.
As a freshman, yes.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. But then he beat him. But then 95 with this opening play.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We would burn the Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it while smoking or at least attempting to light my cigar from 06. I'd get a new one from Sandman.
Yeah.
I'd have a whole thing. I would burn everything. Just things would start burning.
Burn it to the ground.
Just burning.
We're going to talk more about celebrations coming up. Let's talk to Titans Bill right now. Bill, welcome in.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Speaking of things,
talk to my favorite people.
Speaking of things burning, it may be the Titans right now.
Yeah, well, I know Titans.
My sausage is burning.
That's it. I knew it was burning. I was going to go for it. You beat me to it.
I'll tell you one thing, and I'm going to say this, guys. They suck.
No, Titans, Bill, you don't talk like that.
You're not wrong. The defense doesn't suck,
I know
Titans,
I
Bill.
Shouldn't be talking like that, but it's a fact, Derek Ainge.
All right. They do, by the way.
Capital F.
The defense doesn't suck.
And if I were Mike Vrabel, I would tell it to their face.
Oh.
You know, when you look at how many points the Titans have given up over the last five games, you look at it and say, you should be, including the big win on opening week, you should be 6-0, if not 5-1. Because the defense played well enough to win every game, and the offense has let them down at every turn.
Exactly. First thing they need to do, get rid of Arthur Smith. Make some shake up in the coaching staff.
The first thing they need to do is get rid of Marcus Mariota. I love him. I think he's a nice guy, but he's not a good NFL quarterback.
That's one guy that flat out made a fool out of me.
You know, I wonder if he has a little bit of the David Carr syndrome where he got hit so many times he lost any it that he had.
I think probably, if the truth to be known. But I'll tell you, they need to start working on that offensive line.
It's, I believe, the highest paid offensive line in the NFL.
No way, really?
I believe I read that on Sunday.
Whoa.
And they are probably the worst NFL offense.
They invested a lot of money during the offseason in free agent Roger Saffold, who was with the Rams last year.
And then you have Taylor Lewan that's making a ton of money, too.
And Jack Conklin's an all-pro.
Yeah.
So they need sounds to like the, something like that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't hurt Vrabel to maybe make a shake-up in his coaching staff.
Vrabel's got, so here's the problem when you have a new coach like that, who where you have one side of the ball that's just terrible, and then you have the other side of the ball that is drastically improved to the point of playing as good. I mean, they're playing, the Titans on defense are playing about as good as anybody in the league right now. I mean, they're top five, top 10 in every category. So Vrabel has, in my opinion, shown his value as a coach, but I'm just going to pawn the offense off on somebody else. I'm just the defensive guy. Mentality only works for so long. So I don't know what you do if you're Vrabel, because the guys you have over there coaching, they're good coaches. It's not like they decided to suck today. They have a quarterback problem and they have an offensive line problem. I do think they have some personnel issues. I'm just not a fan of Derrick Henry in the NFL. That's just not the guy that I would use when you have, like, they don't have the pieces that line up. You have a quarterback that is still trying to learn how to play NFL football because he's just, his skill set is just different. And that's why I think you see him, he's so like inconsistent, is because he's just not he's not the mold that most of these guys are normally coaching. And then you have a running back that needs to be behind a bruising offensive line and an offensive line that should be able to block that way, but they don't. Like, there's just, I don't know, there's like an identity problem, I think is what I would say, with the Titans offense.
I would agree with you right there on all you hit. You hit the nail on the head on all categories.
It's what I do, Titansville. It's what I do.
Exactly. You know, I'll tell you, you know, speaking, if there would be one color commentator that I think the best color commentator that Mike Keith has ever had, it's Dave McGinnis. And I mean, man, I call him the professor of pro football. You know, you look at the guy, he looks like one of them faculty members that teaches at UT with the beard and all that. I mean, maybe he's probably the best color commentator that, you know, that's on Titans radio.
He's good. I still miss Pat Ryan.
Analyzing things. Was he better than Pat Ryan? I'd say yes. Is he better than Frank Wycheck? I'd say yes. You talk about a man who really knows his pro football and really knows how to analyze a game. That's Dave McGinnis.
It is a fun listen on Sundays.
I'm not even a Titans fan, and if I know the Titans are playing and I'm in my truck, I put it on 98.7 every single time because I love listening to Mike Keith. So I don't disagree that the color commentator does a good job, but I like Mike Keith, to me, is the best in the business.
Exactly.
Titans Bill,
and of course, look, he brought that John Ward mentality to Titans radio.
That's right.
He did. Titans Bill, I want you to know something.
What's that, buddy?
You're always on my mind.
Thank you.
Titans Bill, we appreciate it.
Radio, love
you. Bye-bye.
Love you.
We come back here on the Arcane Show. Some of Jerry Pruitt's comments from yesterday, what'd he say, and some injury updates as well. The Arcane Show continues next. FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the EA Show on the Animal. That's Sports Radio, WNML.com. Brian Rice, myself, Eric Ainge. Tell me what Coach Pruitt had to say yesterday after we got off.
He had plenty, but first we talked earlier about the how much he enjoys this rivalry and how it means something to him. And it means something to other, you know, everybody that's associated with this program. He also said maybe they'll just be like the high school team in Arkansas that doesn't ever punt and always goes for onside kicks. I don't think he was serious, but it'd be hilarious.
He also said that they have to find ways. It seems like they have to find ways to not score like 100 points a game.
I think that's also true. I think that's an inconvenient truth about playing Alabama is that they could score as many as they choose to.
Now, against LSU, I don't think that'll be true.
I think against everybody that they play other than probably LSU.
Yeah.
That's true.
Auburn could give them fits. And when I say that, I mean...
Can they? I mean, they can score with it. That's the thing. I even think with LSU,
on defense,
you can score as many as you choose to. It just may not be enough.
Well, I mean, I don't think that Auburn, I don't think that Alabama is going to score 50-plus against LSU. Florida looked...
I think both teams will be in the 40s, don't you?
Maybe, but that's different. I mean, maybe. And
Florida could have.
Florida, what'd they end up with, 28?
Yeah.
And they looked as good. I mean, they had four drives of 75 yards where they just were... third down converting machines.
Yeah.
And they put 28. I mean, I think LSU Alabama will be a high 30s, maybe 40s game. Unless both teams deem it's just going to be who can score the most points. And so at that point, you're fine with blitzing and bringing all sorts of stuff because you're trying to create a turnover or you're trying to create a sack. I mean, that'll be the most interesting game plan game, I think, of recent years in college football, watching it. You'll have to throw everything you know about the brand of both universities and their football programs out. But that's different. I mean, that is truly, that's number one and number two right now in the country. I mean, and it for sure is. Those are by far the two best football teams in the country.
Yeah,
Alabama and LSU. Alabama against us, since we're talking about Coach Pruitt. I mean, I don't know what you do. Jarnigan had a good point. We were walking in the building today this morning, and he said, I don't know, I think we might be able to run the ball. They're the 47th ranked run defense. Maybe we can run it right at them. And I said, maybe. You know, their defensive ends, you know, their front seven is a little more, they're a little lighter than they have been in years past. They're a little younger. Now they're like third down pass rush machines. But, you know, they don't have those true 3-4 kind of top five draft pick, 207, like Derek Barnett's, like they've had forever. They have more lean guys.
Alabama held Duke to 3 points. They held New Mexico State to 10. They held Southern Miss to 7. But South Carolina put up 23. Ole Miss put up 31. And Texas A&M put up 28. I don't think this is a 42-3 game or a 41-10 game, but I do think Alabama scores as many as they choose to.
That's in our game. Yeah, that's true. I don't know, the Ole Miss game. They scored a bunch late, didn't they?
I mean, I think they scored 10, one late.
They scored 10 in the first three quarters. Maybe 17. I'm trying to remember the South Carolina game. I think that had a little bit of that in it, too.
South Carolina was more competitive. South Carolina was competitive with them for a while.
So maybe they scored their points early, and then they scored some.
Yeah, South Carolina scored 10 in the first quarter, 3 in the third quarter, and then 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So it was 14-10 after one. I'm not saying that they were in the ballgame, no, but they 14, were technically in the ballgame.
After the first quarter, they were. And same with Ole Miss. Ole Miss was with them in the first quarter. But then the second and third quarters, Bama went. Pfft.
Yeah, Ole Miss took actually led after the first quarter 10-7. And then Alabama scored 31 points in the second.
Yeah. And like, what was the score in the South Carolina game after three?
After three in the South Carolina game, it was 34-13.
Yeah.
South Carolina scored 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Game's over there. What's the Ole Miss after three?
Ole Miss after three. Ole Miss has 17. Alabama's, I'm trying to do 40, math, 38, 50. 40. It was 52. It was 52. Because then Alabama 17. Scored 7 points in the fourth quarter.
And then what was that? And then A&M. I watched the A&M game. A&M played as good as they could, man. They played hard. Kellen Mond deserved a game ball for competing.
It was
after 24. Three.
Well, after three, it was 34-20.
That and that's because I remember I watched that whole game. That game of those three was by far the most competitive, to where Alabama still was like playing football, the drives mattered.
They only won by 19.
No, but I'm just saying 34-20. You had a two-score game in fourth quarter. The other two games were over going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I would kind of tend to take any of those three scores right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them had double digits. I mean, after three quarters, all three of those teams, you had 13, 17, and 20.
Yeah. I think it also adjusts what your expectations are for it, though, and what okay looks like.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna have 40 or 50. You're not gonna win the game. So like, that's, if you just accept the fact that you're not gonna win the game and you play the moral victory or whatever you want to call it, dude, we're so far from beating the number one team in the country right now. That needs to not be the goal. The goal needs to be to worry about yourself and focus on your football team and your shortcomings and the different successes that you've had. Build on your 10 tackles for loss and your 7 sack performance against Mississippi State. Build on that. Go sack Tua. Go hit him, man. Get back there. He threw his first interception. Maybe we can get one. You know, like, I mean, you're not going to get enough to win the football game. But you could do some things that when you put it on film, you build on it, you feel good about it, and then you go play South Carolina with a second or third string quarterback, and you feel a lot better about going into that football game. Like, you can take something from an L into the next week. And I think that's what this game's going to be about. It's going to be about breaking down, because they're too well coached and they're too good at football, and they're just not, they don't beat themselves. So that's your only hope, right? Like, you play a team like this, Georgia, South Carolina. South Carolina's only hope in that game was that Georgia self just implode, self-inflicted, beat themselves, played terrible, neck up problems left and right. And that's what happened, and they barely still won in double overtime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think this is even a larger discrepancy, Alabama to Tennessee, than you had with Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So what can we take away from this game to make us feel good about the South Carolina game? Is it, you know, doing what these teams did? 13, 17, 20, you know, if after three quarters we're looking at our score and it's Alabama 49, Tennessee 17, going into the fourth, I know that hurts, but it has to hurt people's feelings just even saying that. Like, yeah, that doesn't feel good, right? You got the power T on right now. I mean, I just, 49, 17, and we're feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I know that sucks, but yeah, if I said that, how would you feel about it?
49-17, I don't know that I would feel great, but you put up 17 points and I don't know. I'm never going to feel great about it because that's
what if I said 34-34? So two of these teams held.
If you gave me 59-31 that Ole Miss had, I would take that today. And I realize that's Alabama scoring 18 more points than what we talked about a minute ago, but you put up 31.
Going into the fourth, though, in two of these games that we just mentioned, mm-hmm, two of their three games,
yeah,
they'd only given up 34 points. What if I said Alabama 34, Tennessee 3?
Yeah, no, I need okay, to see some
tens. 34-10.
34-10, I take. You covered by 10 points.
34-10 after three. And you're looking at it going, the game's over. So who knows what both teams are going to do now?
They're going to pull Tua.
They put their whole second string out there and you score another touchdown. That's how you get to where these other teams scored. But against their starters, A&M put up 20 in the three quarter. You know, they actually made it a football game. You almost have to take theirs out of it. But the other two, South Carolina and Ole Miss, I mean, they put up 13 against their starters and the other one put up 17 against their starters. How many do we put up against their starters?
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Eric Gaines Show, FM 99.1, the sports animal. Welcome back into the Air Gain Show, FM 99.1 Sports Radio, WNML. Is it still a rivalry? Well, all the people I know from Alabama have this labeled on their Facebook as Tennessee Hate Week. So, Hate Week, so of course it is. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the show. Let's go to the phones. Robbie, you're up first. Robbie, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'm real happy for our guys, you know, to kind of get the monkey off the back and get the win. The guys played well. They deserved it. A little disappointed in our fan base, though, because I know we could do a whole lot better. Because EA, you know, better just about anybody. Even the VFLs that are in the stands. When you got 100,000 people in the stands behind you, it's like an extra energy bar. And, you know, I wish I could just talk to our guys this weekend and just tell them, don't even look at the scoreboard, you know. And I know that's hard to do, but yeah, I would just love to see our guys to go out there, execute the entire game, no self-inflicted wounds, penalties like that, zero turnovers. You know, if we get a turnover from Alabama, hey, that's great. But I would just love to see a game where we don't turn the ball over at all, execute the entire game, and just no self-inflicted wounds. And then at the end of the game, if the scoreboard's nasty, then you know what it is, what it is. We just got beat by a better team. We've got to tip our hat to them. And I know we're still in the rebuilding process, but I would just love to see a game like that, and I just want to get your guys' thoughts.
All right, Robbie, we appreciate it. Clean game, no self-inflicted wounds. Is that a win?
It's something you can build on. So if we're talking about, if we're, you know, to Robbie's point, if we're talking about things we can build on, then yeah, no self-inflicted wounds would translate into a winnable approach to play South Carolina. So I think that's a good thing.
Let's talk to John ahead of the top of the hour. John, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, good morning, Brian, Eric.
How you doing?
Y'all was just talking about the scores getting out of hand with Alabama when they started pulling their players. My question is, well, when and do you at all, when does Tennessee conceive that the game is out of hand and they start pulling their players to conserve and not get hurt and stuff and start preparing for South Carolina?
Eric, what do you think?
I don't think that this Alabama team is like some of the Bama teams in the past where you would play them. And then, like, I think South Carolina had a couple, if I remember properly, like maybe two or three guys that got hurt. I don't think it was just due to sheer repetitive dominance by Alabama. I think they were like actual traumatic injuries. Does that make sense? Like a torn this or this player.
Yeah,
like I'd like in years past, you just go get beat up so bad that like you just, even if they're not out of the lineup the next week, they might as well be because they just got nothing left in the tank. I don't think that this Bama team plays like that, man. I mean, they're the 47th ranked run defense. And we'll look at the numbers and we'll continue, but I've watched them play about every game they've played this year, and they're a little more finesse. They're a little more finesse on both sides of the ball, honestly. So
yes, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, they're not as physical as the Alabama's the past.
So I say you play your guys, and you play them as long as it's a game. I mean, if you're in the fourth quarter and you're down by 30 or 40 points, then yeah, you might want to get some other guys in there. But the other thing that I think you do that makes sense is you don't wait until the fourth quarter to get your guys in there. And Pruitt doesn't do that. These guys rotate. If it's not a recruiting ploy to say you're going to get to play a bunch if you come here. They play their guys. If they're recruiting them, right, they thought they were good enough to come here and play. Their job's to get them ready enough to go play. And these guys do that. And you don't have to worry about it being a one-score game where it's, you know, like if a guy makes a mistake, if you want to put Crouch in at defensive end on one play and then outside linebacker and base on the next and then move him into the next series at middle linebacker, of course the kid's going to make a bunch of mistakes. But he's going to learn more from those mistakes than anything else. I think that's a good thing for this. I think you get your guys in early and often. And you're playing a more Bama finesse team. I don't think you really pull your guys at all.
John, we appreciate it. Got to get out for this hour. When we come back, we'll play college football trivia. Breakout Knoxville passes on the line. Callers 1 and 2 at 656-9900. Play college football trivia next on the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.